Microsoft is spending more and more money these days on security, and with good reason. The world's biggest computer company has suffered a string of attacks from hackers. The company knows that its systems became vulnerable, its profits plummet. So let's meet Microsoft's enemy. Our North American business correspondent, Steve Evans, has been talking to the hackers.
Deep in the recesses of cyberspace, a great intellectual battle is underway. Microsoft versus hackers, bent on breaching its computer system. It's a very high-stakes chess game that even threatens Microsoft's future. Hackers like Porkchop, as he's known, say it's about finding defects to alert the company before others wreak havoc.
We're the type of people who find those problems in the first place. We let Microsoft know before we tell anybody else.
You're presenting it as though you're generous to Microsoft, that you're helping Microsoft by finding the gaps in their system. Microsoft, I suspect, would say that you're trying to bring them down, maybe destroy them.
We don't actually tell people how to damage it until Microsoft has had a very generous amount of time to fix the problems. It's been months between the discovery of a bug and the release of the bug to the public, whenever Microsoft doesn't pay attention to it.
At a gathering of hackers in New York, run by Hackers on Planet Earth, H-O-P-E, Hope, there's a star turn. Kevin Mitnick was jailed for hacking into company and government computers, just for the thrill.
I guess we could all sum it up that it was sheer entertainment. Once I was able to get control of the system, it gave me a feeling of accomplishment. It was kind of like picking a lock. Not because you want to get to the other side to steal anything or to cause any harm, but just the thrill of being able to pick it.
And what did you get into?
A lot of different phone companies, Motorola, Fujitsu, NEC, Sun Microsystems, IBM.
The other thing you got into was jail.
That's true. I ended up serving about 5 years in custody. I was the government poster boy. I was like held in solitary confinement because a prosecutor had told a judge that I could start a nuclear war by whistling into a telephone.
Was it true? Could you have started a nuclear war?
Of course not.
There are noises that are used by hackers for far less dangerous, though still illegal, reasons. Rich the Rebel is a phone freak, someone who breaches phone systems.
When you make a phone call, you put a quarter into a phone and it makes a sound, and that tells the phone company that you put in a quarter, and the sound sounds like this. The automated system will hear that and they'll think that a quarter is being put into the phone.
Isn't that theft?
Yeah, I guess it is.
For many hackers, it's a naive game. They seem to have odd personalities, almost childlike. Bernadette Schell of the University of Ontario has studied hundreds of them. Many hackers come from broken families, she found, and lack trust in others.
There seemed to be a history in early childhood of interpersonal difficulty, and that had a long-term impact on how they were feeling about others in terms of relationship. Essentially, what they did was they escaped creatively into the computer, so that's where they found solace. And they continued into adulthood to communicate with others through the net rather than through face-to-face. A small minority would be dangerous, but the vast majority would be of extreme positive use to businesses and to society, particularly as they were approaching age 30.
Which is fine. But how should we treat hackers before they reach that age of useful maturity?
No answer to that. Steve Evans reporting from New York will now.